thank you so much for chance over lunch to discuss this topic together. Pray as we chat together, as we think about some principles from your word together, that you'd actually grow us together in confidence as your witnesses. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Great. Well, take up a Bible. We're going to look at Acts chapter 8. Do you want to come up and read out that? That'd be great. Thank you. So it's on page 1101.
It's on now. Oh, look at that. Great. Page 1101, Acts chapter 8. Bibles should be under your chairs. They may have fallen out during moving. They'll be somewhere. Starting in verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south down the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and was on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This was the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Great, thank you. Well, I guess something like that has happened to most of us here. It's fourth week, you wake up in the morning, and an angel appears to you and says, "Look, I want you to go to Magdalen College." And so off you trot to Magdalen College, and you get there, and there's a fresher there, earnestly looking at a book on a bench in the quad. And so you go up to a very strong prompting from the Spirit to go up to that person, and you see them there, and it turns out they've got a Bible open, and they're reading the Bible, and as you look, it just so happens they've got to John 3, verse 16. And so there you are. You sit down on the bench and they say, "Look, I'm just desperate to understand what this means for me." And so you talk them through John 3, 16, and a light bulb goes on. And they believe. And they say, "Well, what's stopping me from getting baptized?" So flouncing all May Day regulations, you jump off Magdalen Bridge together into the river, and there you are getting baptized, and off they go to lectures, rejoicing on the way. That kind of thing happened to most of us at some point, or perhaps not. It's an amazing story, isn't it? We're not going to look at it in detail, but I think there are some helpful principles as we think about this whole topic of opening up the Bible with a non-Christian friend. Did you notice how God is right at the heart of everything that happens? He's the one clearly at work in that Ethiopian's life. He's the one clearly prompting Philip to go off. It's not true for us as well. Opening the Bible with friends is not ultimately about techniques kind of resources. It's God's work. Did you notice how the Bible was open at the heart of this encounter as well? I think that's amazing. I mean, you know, the trouble that God goes to arrange a meeting where they just look at the Bible together. Think of all the other things that he could have done. And yet that's what God loves, is for people to understand from the Bible about Jesus. Bible right at the heart of it. And there you've got a believer and an unbeliever sitting down together, and the believer helping to explain to the unbeliever what it's all about. And of course, right at the heart of the whole thing is the good news about Jesus, which is explained, and then an appropriate response is outlined as well. They're great principles for us as we think about opening up the Bible with a non-Christian friend. As I say, we're going to refer back to bits and bobs, but we're not going to look at it in detail together. But I guess as we're sitting here today, there are only two things that are stopping every single one of us from reading the Bible with one of our non-Christian friends, okay? First thing is, do I want to read the Bible with a non-Christian friend, okay? If you want to read the Bible, that's a good start. That won't be true for all of us here. Second thing is, does your non-Christian friend want to read the Bible with you? Okay, now if both of those things kind of line up, then of course there's nothing to stop all of us here sitting down, opening the Bible with a non-Christian friend. Do I really want to read the Bible with a non-Christian friend? Why would my non-Christian friend want to read the Bible with me? They're the two questions which we're going to think about together. So first question then, why would you want to read the Bible with a non-Christian friend? Back to discussion, and the question there is, what might make you reluctant to read the Bible with a non-Christian friend? Have a little chat about that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll come back again. Okay, great. Now, I don't know the kind of things you were saying. You know, maybe we're a bit worried it's going to be awkward. You know, we hate awkwardness. If you're British, you hate awkwardness. You just do. It's part of your kind of genetic makeup, and you think, this might be awkward, and I'm worried about that. Maybe you think, you know, I'm going to get it all wrong. I just don't know if I'd do a very good job at it. Then I might end up putting them off Christianity altogether. Wouldn't it be better if I just kind of avoid the whole thing? There may be a whole load of other reasons as well. But I think for most of us, actually, if we get to a point where we actually really want to, then some of the practicalities are just going to sort themselves out. For most of us, the issue, I think, is just like a motivational one. Do I actually really want to do this? And so I want to give us some reasons why I think it's a great thing for all of us to actually want to do. And the first is that there is no better introduction to Jesus. So there's a great little book, which I brought along to wave along, which I've read recently, called Intentional by Paul Williams. Has anyone read this one? Okay, it's a really helpful little book, short book, on how to be witnesses to Jesus, and I'd really recommend that one. But he says, I've got a quote from it here. He says, Jesus is the one we want to talk about. He's the one person everyone needs to know about. He's the way we come to know God and the one in whom we can have life. And so what better way of introducing someone to Jesus than actually opening up the pages of the Bible, a gospel perhaps, where you see Jesus, who Jesus is, the rescue mission that he came to perform on the cross for us, what it means for us to respond to that, what we've actually got to do about it. And the Gospels, all of them clearly spell this out. So I know that Uncover Mark has just been, it's the kind of latest Gospel. So Mark 1 verse 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The whole thing is about Jesus. What better way to introduce people to Jesus than opening up that book? There's no better introduction to Jesus. Secondly, it provides an easier entry point for many. Actually, the context of a personal friendship for many will be less intimidating than attending a Christian meeting. Just to help you to kind of imagine yourself into the shoes of your friends, just imagine how you would feel about going along to a prayer service at the local mosque. Just imagine how you would feel walking in. Okay, even if you went with a friend, even if you are a Christian and you're quite used to religious services, would you feel a little bit nervous? Worried that you might do the wrong thing at the wrong time? Kind of make a bit of a scene, that you'd kind of stick out and everyone would notice you? But imagine sitting down just with a Muslim friend and just having a discussion together. Now, just for our many non-Christian friends, that's how they feel about coming along to a church service. It's all the questions that they have. So much easier to just sit down with a friend who they already know and just talk about these things and open up a Bible and have a look. So it's an easier entry point for many. It sets a positive agenda and not just kind of a reaction or defense to questions. It can be so easy to assume, by the way, that our friends have a whole load of very well thought through objections to Christian faith. Now, some of them might do, but that's, on the whole, not the case, actually. Lots of people simply haven't engaged with the truth about Jesus. And so we can end up kind of blundering in, answering a load of questions that people aren't actually asking. The advantage of opening up a gospel is that it sets a positive agenda. Okay, it's not assuming that there are a whole heap of objections or questions, but it does give space for questions to come up in the context of reading about Jesus. Can I say that the other wonderful thing about doing this is it also kind of takes the focus off you and your beliefs versus them and their beliefs. Okay, have you ever had that kind of awkwardness in a discussion? I believe this, you believe that, and let's try and work out who's right. It takes all of that away. Instead, you're just two people looking at a text together saying, let's together figure out what this says about Jesus. And so it kind of takes away all of that kind of dynamic, which I think is a really helpful thing. It sets a positive agenda. Discussion is clarifying. So the context of actually discussing the Bible, it was clarifying for that Ethiopian eunuch in the story we started with. And actually, the Gospels are a clear account of Jesus' life, but they come in a bigger context, the whole Bible, the whole story of God's salvation. And as people are increasingly unfamiliar with that, it can be such a help to have a Christian friend who can say, you know, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, how many terms in there are a bit weird if you're not a Christian? Christ, what on earth does that mean? Gospel, what on earth does that word mean? And as you read on in Mark chapter 1, verse 2, you then get Isaiah the prophet, and who on earth is Isaiah, and where does he come from? And there'll be questions that come up that as a Christian, you're in a better place to answer and say, well, it's not a mystery, but it does require a bit of background understanding that you can help with. So discussion is clarifying. So I'm sure there are other reasons why it'd be a good thing to open up the Bible with a non-Christian, but I hope that we can see, yeah, okay, maybe I feel nervous about this. Maybe I feel like I'm not terribly well equipped, but can I persuade us that it's something we should want to do? We really want, there's no better introduction to Jesus. So that's my first point. Second point is answering this question, why would a non-Christian friend want to read the Bible with you? So we're assuming now we're at a point where we're saying, okay, as a Christian, I want to read a gospel, open up a gospel with a non-Christian friend, but why on earth would they want to do that with me? So back into discussion questions, and the question now is, what might make a non-Christian friend reluctant to read the Bible with you? Off you go, back in a couple of minutes. Okay, guys, let's come back together again now. Okay, I hope you didn't get too personal there. I'm sure it's nothing personal on the, you know, you're just a weirdo or something. But there may be all kinds of reasons. But I just want to spell out positively now three reasons why a non-Christian friend might want to read the Bible with you. Because of you, because of them, and because of God. So firstly, because of you. So have I put this on the handout? Matthew 5, verse 16. Famous words from Jesus. He says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus says that as Christians, we have a new identity. We are light, and we are to let that light shine before others. And do you see the purpose? So that they may see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. In other words, they come to a point where they know and trust this God as their Lord and Father as well. But it starts with the light shining. In other words, Jesus is not just a guy in the Gospel of Mark, but he's in your own life. He's a living reality in your life. And your friends can see that. Okay, they can see the difference that Jesus makes. Actually, a friendship is a great arena for people to see the difference Jesus actually concretely makes in your life. It is rare for a non-Christian to be randomly interested in studying the Bible. It does happen, but it's rare. But it's not rare for them to be impressed by the difference that Jesus has made to someone's life and want to know what it is that has made that difference. And that's the thing that makes kind of sitting down and reading Mark's gospel with someone different from just like a random kind of niche academic interest. I mean, imagine someone saying, oh, do you fancy looking at these Anglo-Saxon poems with me? You know, it's a bit niche, okay? Maybe if you love Anglo-Saxon poems, that's great. But what is it that stops this bit of old school literature being different? Well, it's because Jesus is actually transforming your life. Okay, and so it's of practical relevance to them that they find out about Jesus as well. And it's not just this authentic shining light, but can I say, if you have some actual genuine enthusiasm about the Bible, that is going to make a difference to if your friends want to read the Bible with you. Okay, if they think, oh, this is just the latest CU initiative, the kind of uncover thing, okay, they're not going to be that keen. But if they say, well, yeah, no, you know, you love the Bible. You love reading about Jesus. You know, he is an essential guide for your life every day. And that's obvious to them. You know, so when you say, do you want to read the Bible with me? They know that you're serious about that. And you actually want to. Okay, that'll make a big difference. If you're like, oh, you know, yeah, no, we've got this uncover thing that CU are doing. And, you know, it's probably not your thing. But anyway, I just wondered if maybe, perhaps, you know, in a spare moment, if you haven't got too much work on, maybe you might want to have a look at it. Maybe, but probably, I mean, people aren't going to want to look at the Bible if you introduce it like that. So because of you, if people see Jesus a living reality in your life, if it's obvious you actually want to, then of course that's going to provoke some interest. I've put there a quote from Michael Green. He was he used to be the rector across the road at St. Aldate's, and he wrote a great little book called Evangelism in the Early Church, and he says this, the spread of the gospel in the early days often must have been not from formal preaching, but informal chattering to friends and chance acquaintances in homes and wine shops, on walks and around market stalls. They went everywhere gossiping the gospel. They did it naturally, enthusiastically, and with the conviction of those who are not paid to say that sort of thing. Consequently, they were taken seriously, and the movement spread, notably among the lower classes. It's a great opportunity. You're just a regular student at Oxford, like anyone else. Okay, you're not paid to do this, but Jesus is changing your life. You want to share that with others as well. So because of you. But secondly, perhaps they might want to read the Bible with you because of them. Fewer and fewer people really have had any significant engagement with Jesus. Okay, fewer and fewer people have grown up going to Sunday school. Fewer and fewer people have been to through school education where they've had to read lots and lots of the Bible. Okay, so more and more people are arriving as undergraduates who are very intelligent, but actually, when it comes to Jesus, basically ignorant. Okay, and that's just going to be the case more and more. And you know, challenge people about that. You know, seriously? You've never actually read a gospel from cover to cover. You know, and therefore people can have a genuine interest to find out about Jesus simply because they don't know anything about it at all. Okay, so when we're asking people to read the Bible, it has a level of interest now that perhaps it didn't have 20 years ago because they genuinely don't know much about it. But of course, lots of people have a real hunger as well. You know, as Vaughan was saying in the sermon, that there's this kind of something missing. You know, they've just achieved their great aspiration of getting into Oxford. And now there's an essay crisis and they're not coping and everything's falling to pieces. And, you know, actually engaging with Jesus might be just the right time for them to do that. So because of them, there's something going on in their life. You don't know what it might be, but it might actually make them very receptive to just accepting positively that invitation to open up the Bible and look at it. You say, don't assume that everyone's going to be negative about this. Okay, sometimes we think people may not want to read the Bible. That's when actually, you know, odds on, they may well respond positively if we just actually pluck up the courage and ask them. So because of them. And finally, and I guess most importantly, because of God. This is what we saw in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's a story of the Spirit coordinating the whole thing. Okay, whether it's kind of Philip's availability, the Ethiopian eunuch's hunger. And that's true for our friends as well. Ultimately, pray that God would be putting a hunger in people to actually find out more about Jesus, that they might be willing to engage. So don't be discouraged, it's worth saying, if people aren't up for reading the Bible with you. Because ultimately, it does take a work of God in people's hearts. Okay, out of these three things, only one of these is really anything to do with you. Okay, are you authentically living for Jesus? It's worth asking that question, by the way. But if you're saying, well, no, I am seeking to do that, and friends still aren't up for looking at the Bible with you, well, just keep praying and don't feel discouraged. So that's why a friend might want to read the Bible with you. We're just going to finish very briefly with a few thoughts on practically how we go about getting this going. And the heading I've put is, would you like to read the Bible with me? That's the question you've got to ask, okay? It's really simple. Would you like to read the Bible with me? So simple, we get a bit nervous about it maybe. Would you like to read the Bible with me? It's never going to feel like a good moment to ask that question. We'll always reason, oh, well, you know, the important thing is to keep building the relationship with that person. But actually, sometimes you just got to go for it. Will you read the Bible? Would you like to read the Bible with me? A few little tips. We'll have a brief time of Q&A and a few moments as well. I've said here, use Uncover. I think Uncover is great. It wasn't around when I was an undergrad. I wish it was. I think it's brilliant. I'd encourage you to make the most of it. Keep things informal. Don't think Bible study. Okay, most non-Christian friends don't know what a Bible study is. Think discussion around a text. Okay, lots of your friends know exactly what that is. And connect what you're learning with your personal experience of being a Christian. Okay, help them to see the difference that this text is actually making to your life. Because that's the thing that makes reading the Bible totally different from just studying a random text. So make sure you're doing that as well. Keep things informal. Just do one session at a time and see how it goes. I mean, I know Uncover comes in, what, six sessions or something? Or five sessions or something? Listen, don't worry about that. Just do it one time, see how it goes. And at the end, you can always say, oh, you know, do you fancy doing that again sometime? You know, is there a time that works for you? And then just do it one session. Don't feel like you've got to set up this whole program. Keep things brief and don't be over intense. You can cover a lot of ground in 10 minutes, you know. And sometimes that's the best thing. Just start brief and see if they enjoy it and pick it up over time if you want to. And then finally, I've just said, pray for conversion and be prepared to lead people to Christ. Okay, we've got to expect, I mean, we've just been hearing the word of God, powerful and active, sharp and a double-edged sword. We've got to expect that as people engage with Jesus from the Bible, the Lord will be bringing some people to a point where they actually want to follow Jesus. And it'd be worth making sure you actually know how to lead someone through from unbelief to that point of actually trusting in Jesus for themselves. Expect it to happen. Pray for it to happen. And then be prepared to be the one who can faithfully lead that person through to faith in Jesus as well. And I've just put a verse there at the end. This is after Jesus did that famous Bible study after he'd risen from the dead on the road to Emmaus. And those disciples said, were not our hearts burning within us? As he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us. I think that's a great thing to be praying. If you get to a point where non-Christian friends are saying, yeah, you know, I'll be up for doing this, why not make that a prayer as you lead up to it? Lord, just pray that their hearts would be burning within them as they find out about Jesus, that something would just be connecting with their own hearts and that they'd be led to him. That's all I'm going to say. Why don't I stop and hand over to Joel? He's coming up here.